Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Now back to EEI Late Night with KJ on EEI.
Now they have no chance, Trent. I mean, at least when you threw out a potential lineup of Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Kemba, and Fournier, you had maybe a shot. You know, not a great one, but at least a shot to make things interesting. Now I don't think there's any chance to even make it interesting. And even if you get out of the play-in round, maybe you win a game against the Bucks or Brooklyn, depending on who you play. And again, now a lot of people are going to use this as an excuse. This team doesn't need an excuse. They showed enough in a large enough sample that they weren't good enough this year. And again, I do think changes need to be made. I love Brad Stevens as a human being. I love him as a coach. I've known him since he was an assistant coach at Butler. But I think maybe the time has come that parting ways is good, not only for the Celtics, but also for Brad Stevens.
It's the second hour of Late Night on WEEI. I'm KJ. Thank you so much for hanging out. That's Jeff Goodman on Early Edition talking about how the Celtics have kind of done this to themselves. 617-779-7937. Taking your calls on Celtics, Red Sox, Pats as well. Let me get the text line 37937. When Sale comes back, maybe at the end of July or beginning of August and is effective, who do you send to the bullpen? Martin Perez. Lefty, this is probably why he only pitched five innings today. You're exchanging lefty out for lefty. You know, Martin Perez is kind of like, hey, look, this guy could be the long reliever if you need. And if you need a long reliever that's a lefty, it's going to be him. And Sale will get back into that rotation. He says Sale is as good as cardboard. $30 million cardboard, hello. DFA Franchi immediately. This is at the text line. He's horrible in the field and can't hit. Get someone that can hit and that's not afraid of the green monster. Yeah, this is a guy. I think this is they're taking a fly on Franchi now. Probably 20 to 25 more at bats, and I think the team will make a decision. Why not consider Yasiel Puig? I think there's a couple of reasons. Played well for Cleveland last time we saw him, and he stayed active playing baseball since then. Great player. I think there is a concern about some of the off-field issue that is kind of currently under litigation right now. And in this environment and what's alleged, I won't get into, it just might be a tough hay to carry right now. All right, to the Celtics. You know, the Celtics team, and I've kept my mouth shut about this. It's very emblematic of today's social media culture. They're the social media Celtics. Tatum, 60 in a game. Yeah, what does that add up to right now? All these individual accolades. And then the news with Jaylen Brown with the torn ligaments in his left wrist out for the season. That's 24 points out the window. If you average the scores for the Celtics this season, you know what the score is? 112 Celtics, 111 opponent. What is 24 minus 112? Because it's about to get ugly. I mean, Evan Fournier, he's got his nice 9 points he chips in. 11 points. I mean, that's what he's brought here for, 11 points a game, right? No. One of these two players, and I think with Jaylen Brown now being injured, it's not him. Do not be surprised if Jason Tatum wants out. We talk about Brad Stevens. We talk about Danny Ainge. You're like, well, he's got this big contract. Oh, James Harden was at the buffet and still got his way. The social media Celtics. This team is probably going to lose to Charlotte in the 7-8 game. How scary, Terry, would that be if Rozier is just lighting us up or lighting the Celtics up for 40 or 50 in the game as a way of saying, how you like me now? That's a real possibility. The energy has been there when it was too late in the game. How many Celtics games did you watch this year? We're like, okay, the Celtics are down by 35. Maybe they have it in them. Only to lose by like 7. And somehow to be like, well, they almost pulled it off. They let it go before it even started. I'll be honest with you, Brian DeFelice. Thank you so much for hanging out, man. It's good to see you after all this time.
Likewise.
It's been like almost a month, maybe
about
even
that,
more.
Yeah. Yeah, you had to go south for a little bit.
Yeah, I had some Bojangles, man.
Oh, yeah.
I immediately drank like 10 gallons
of
water.
I like Zaxby's.
Okay. So they, well, I don't want to be a commercial for them, but there are no Zaxby's in New England, I don't think.
But no, down in Carolina there are, though.
Right, but like they have this, like this one particular day where like their salads are like $5, their chicken salads. Oh my God, the line is wrapped around the restaurant in the drive-thru. And of course, my wife and my mom send me out to go get it, which is good. It gives me a chance to call my buddies on the phone, you know, without a kid distracting in the back. But it is good to be back. Put my hoodies back on, stuff like that. But this Celtics team, you just consistently watched a team that didn't show up. New Orleans, Cleveland, Detroit. You remember all the games. Like, when is the team going to show up? We've played the drops of Jason Tatum yawning during the press conference post-game. I'm going to tell you what's dangerous right now is there's a high probability that one or two of these players are going to ask out to be out of here. I think Les Brown because he's injured now, but you just don't know. And then what they'll say about going to play in Boston. Oh, my gosh.
That's so depressing just to think about, you know, where this team was 2-3 years ago when they brought in Gordon Hayward and Kyrie and Al Horford and a young Tatum and a young Brown. And then all of a sudden, you know, 2 seconds into that tenure, you know, Hayward goes down with the, you know, calf injury, leg injury, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And then Kyrie goes off the deep end. Turns out he was always off the deep end.
Right.
And then it was the narrative changed to, well, now that Kyrie's gone, you know, these young kids can really start to focus. And then it just hasn't happened.
There was so much.
In spurts it has. But.
Right. And there was so much PTSD associated with it that even Danny Ainge was like, you could have had Miles Turner and Doug McDermott. Yeah, Indiana's a mess right now. They're the Celtics of Indiana. That's what they are. And so you start to wonder, could this be the last of the potential superstars that are going to willing to come here? Are you ready for potentially the Rick Fox days again? Because now these players have more control and more say-so of the narrative than even the team does. We've seen it with our own eyes. You've even heard Brad say, you know, well, the guys, I saw some guys with their heads down and they were moping and, you know, just try to encourage them to get it. Is this bitty basketball? Free oranges at halftime for everybody? The oranges were the best part. There'd always be that one kid who would come out and like just keep the orange in his teeth till his mom is like, that citrus is going to kill your enamel. The enamel is wearing thin. It's worn. I've said, look, I'm not going to go at the Celtics until the playoffs. Well, guess what? Jalen in his 24 just walked out the door with an injury. And let's face it, he's had a few injuries this year. The hamstring, the tendonitis in the knee. He's been kind of a soldier. You know, at this point, if it's a 7-8 game where the Celtics are to play to see if they get in the playoffs, you think Jason Tatum is going to get any of the calls that he expects now at this point in his career? He expects these calls.
See, the frustrating thing, though, KJ, is like even in defeat, you know, the silver lining you can always find about the Celtics in the postseason is that every postseason, win or lose, it's more experience for Tatum and Brown. And now, win or lose, you know, obviously they're not going to go too far, but they're not even going to have the benefit of Jalen Brown.
And maybe that's what they need to see. And maybe that's what they need to see. Because for me, I felt like the upliftment of Jason Tatum was at the expense of the quality of Jalen Brown. It just felt that way. I might be the only one that feels that way, but there's only two people pushing the button here at 93.7 here in Boston. Felice and myself. And so now with Brown out, it's almost kind of like, you know what? Now you get to see the ish show begin. And it's not going to be pretty. Oh, the double and triple teams? Who do you kick the ball out to that you think it hit? Okay, maybe Kemba will hit a shot or two. You know Marcus is going to take four more or five more. Fournier, has he had 100 points since he's been here? Let's see, 13 games. Yeah, okay, 13 times 11 would give you like 144. Okay, so he's gotten 144 points since he's been here. Divided by 19 million exception. I look really dumb now saying, Andre Drummond, go get Andre Drummond. Yeah, he's playing for the Lakers. So, if I put up a pie, right? Like, how many slices on an 8-piece pie? Who's responsible for what? I'd say Danny Ainge, 2 slices. Brad Stevens, 2 slices. The players, 4 slices.
See, I think Danny should get more than Brad. I just think Brad's in a tough situation. There's only so much he can really do before they start tuning him out. The roster, you know, needs to be built more around, you know, what they have. And yes, that's why I would say the players are primarily to blame. But if you're Brad Stevens, what else can you do? It's a players' league. If the roster's not there,
that's fair. So let's give Danny Ainge 3 slices because he put the players there. Brad Stevens, a slice.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a part of the problem.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's I think when Jeff Goodman talks about how you know, Brad Stevens may be better off for both parties to go their separate ways, you know, I hate to say it, but I agree. Just because I don't know unless the roster can significantly improve. But like I said, it's a players' league anyway, so that's why the coach,
they are not a buyer's roster. You know what I mean by that? Like, there nobody is on the phone saying, Danny, please give me fill in the blank. In fact, I'm looking at the text line, 37937, says the problem with the Celtics isn't Brad Stevens. It's all on Danny Ainge, not all. 3 of the slices out of the 8. He should make a huge trade with Walker. For who? Al Horford?
Well, Walker just isn't really, you'll be trading him for 50 cents on the dollar.
Yeah, he's an untradeable asset right now. If anything, you need Kemba Walker to play like out of his face to then be a tradable asset. So no, there's no way. I mean, I know you want to get Karl Anthony Towns, which would be ideal, but for Kemba? I mean, people are still upset with Danny moving Isaiah Thomas with a major injury. Now you're going to move someone else with an injury and a huge contract? No.
See, I have a hard time looking at the team and really accepting what Ainge has done with the roster, because I think anybody who, you know, is really using, I like to use the eyeball test. A lot of people like to go with analytics in sports. Let me just tell you what.
Yeah,
what
are
I'm
you
seeing.
Scared or not to play
right?
the game?
Right. And what I've seen far too often since dating back to the Big Three era.
Right.
The Celtics just haven't had that bench depth and to go as far as they want to. They certainly have, you know, obviously prior to Brown's injury, they certainly have high caliber players up front. Right, so, but you need to look back in 2009.
Well, that's why I call them the social media Celtics. In social media, people don't necessarily know their roles. But this team, they don't know their roles.
And to that point, KJ, I was watching the other night. There was the 2008 Celtics championship, DVD that it was a special that they did on NBC Boston recently. And you know, Sam Cassell, James Posey, PJ Brown, Leon Poe. I mean, all these guys, Eddie House. Right, all these guys that you think back to that championship and you think of the Big Three for sure and Rondo, but all those guys played their role, they played their part. And I haven't seen a Celtics team. I've seen a likable team, you know, with the Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
Like that, it was a likable team, but you knew they weren't good enough.
Right.
But now they have that high end talent and they just haven't been able to plug in those holes around them. And that's why, to me, Brad Stevens is stuck between a rock and a hard place.
To go to what you're saying,
and it's frustrating.
Those teams you're saying were likable but couldn't win. This team has the ability to win but is more concerned with likes.
Those Isaiah Thomas teams probably had more
heart
and maybe even more bench depth, but they didn't have the high-end talent. This team has the high-end talent.
You felt like they would fight for a win, where this team you feel like, oh, well, it's a loss.
And I just don't get why, and I'm not a very pessimistic person. I call it the way that I see it. I'm very surprised that Ainge has gotten such a pass. I mean, we're talking, what, 13, 14 years since Banner 17?
Yeah.
You know, and obviously they came very close a few years after that, and they've been in the conference finals a few times the last handful of years, but I don't know. I mean,
look, the answer
long leash for him,
the
though.
Answer must be Danny is very well liked by management. If Danny was anywhere else, he'd be gone. He'd be gone, because it was like, if you can't figure out with these two superstars, and here's what's crazy when we say all this. This is not like this team hasn't gone anywhere. It just hasn't gone further. And that part is on Danny, because you say, Danny, you yourself have been that leader, part of that leadership role player in Phoenix, in Portland. You know what it takes to get someone on that bench that doesn't require a ton of minutes or a ton of points, but has a ton of insight and has won to know how to go from good to great. It's a great book. I forgot who wrote it, which is a bad thing to say. There's a great book called Good to Great and forget who wrote the book. But this is what the Celtics are. They're literally that team that's stuck on good. And this is where Danny comes in, because he puts the players on the team and doesn't push to great. Now, here's the other side of that. Do free agents want to come here? And again, I think the answer is no. And then it's going to really be no if Tatum or Brown leave. Because the first question is going to be, you guys did all of this. Why didn't it happen?
No, you're 100% right. If either of those two leave, then the lure to come to Boston certainly goes out the window. Now, again, that documentary I was watching, all those bench players I just referenced,
the Walter McCarty years.
Okay, they had choices to go elsewhere.
Yeah.
James Posey mentioned that he was on his way to was it the Nets or something like that? But and then he got a call from Eddie House.
Right.
When all the other dominoes started to fall, Garnett coming here and Ray Allen, and obviously Pierce is already here. When the players around the league that were free agents to be or what have it, when they saw the team and the culture that was being built in Boston. At the snap of a finger, they were like, absolutely. So Boston was desirable because of the winning. Now, if Tatum or Brown go, then yeah, there goes that. But you know, the frustrating part, if I'm a Celtics fan, is that Danny Ainge, to his credit, KJ, looked as though he may have found that winning formula, that winning roster, like I said, a few years ago when they brought in Hayward and
right.
Horford and Kyrie, and it didn't work. And what I would be pissed off about if I was a Celtics fan is that it didn't work. And then
it didn't get better.
There was no rectifying the problem.
Right.
Right. It just kind of lingered for a few years.
Right. Because even when you look back, even though we joke about Al Horford was one of the most desired players when he was leaving Atlanta. So it was like, okay, you're getting somebody. And that's what it really comes down to, is who are we challenging to get players? Like, because if a player has in front of them, I could go to the Celtics, or let's say I can go to the Heat, right? Something comparable, right? You would say, well, you have two bona fide superstars in Boston. You just need, and you have a very solid Kemba Walker, just overpaid, but very solid. When you get past the end, you have something there, but nobody's saying yes. It's almost kind of like, is there something that the league knows as players that isn't being said through silence, right? Because sometimes silence says a whole lot. And with Tatum and Brown, it just feels like, I haven't seen the type of joy with those two guys in a game like I saw the joy the two of them had in the All-Star game. Like, almost kind of like, hey, we like it better elsewhere than at home.
Or how about when they went to the conference finals against the Cavaliers, and when Kyrie was out getting his, you know, nose job for Uncle Drew or whatever. They were having a blast in that series, although they lost, and that was supposed to be this massive, you know, growing moment. But I mean, I don't know, KJ. Do you consider? I don't consider. Everybody always talks about, and Tatum, I get it, but with Jaylen Brown, he's this bona fide superstar. Is he? Isn't he a little bit like a notch below probably, you know, the true elite players? I mean, it's not like you're talking people going and play with LeBron and Anthony Davis.
I would say they both are both that one notch under, right?
And that makes a difference in this league, right? If you're trying to decide between Boston and, you know, somewhere that has like those real bona fide like game changers.
I'll tell you what's embarrassing. I'm going to tell you it's embarrassing. The New York Knicks have put it together with virtually nobody. Julius Randle is on, what, his third team, fourth team? And he's their leader. Derrick Rose is showing more heart after having more injuries and more setbacks than what's going on here. The Hawks have changed their coach, changed their future. I don't know. It's frustrating. It's frustrating to see something really good start to go really bad, really fast, with no answer of how to get it back.
Exactly. Well, that last part's key. Like, what is the solution in the offseason?
And college basketball. Now, here's where I will give Danny Ainge a small pass, but this is where you have to be above the fray. The future of this league are pretty much not guys that are playing college basketball. They're not. If they're one and done, and like I said, when you had the third pick and you got Jaylen Brown with the second pick, Tatum with the third, okay, you found a couple of gems, but I think those days are over. I mean, Garza out of Iowa is going to be the answer? No. These guys are now overseas.
Right, and when you have that fortune of being a high draft pick, selection, you know, being towards the bottom of the league, do you see the Celtics being so bad they're going to be picking, you know, in the top five?
Well, if one of those two leave or both leave, it can get ugly. It can get uglier. It's already pretty bad looking. 617-779-7937 or text line 37937. It's KJ Late Night here on WEEI. Jason, you're on WEEI. Go ahead.
Guys, you know, someone just made a comment a few minutes ago that Eddie House and Posey came because of the winning. They were not winning before 2008, guys. They had bottomed out, and they came to Boston, and I think this is a big part of it. I think they came because of Doc Rivers, and I think because of KG. KG not only was a tremendous player, but he had an intensity and a passion. And by the way, he also had a hunger to win a title, along with Paul Pierce and Ray Allen, that hadn't won a title in their career.
Well, I think people saw what Paul Pierce was doing literally on one leg, you know, especially after the Antoine Walker years, and they were like, look, Pierce is a scorer and this guy's got heart and we hate playing against him. We need to go join him. And I think it was much easier to come because Paul Pierce was already embedded here. Paul Pierce went through those lean years. Oh my God.
Well, he did. Right. And that's what I was going to say, guys, is the question is, from in 19, the last title before 2008 was 86.
Right.
There was no winning prior to 2008. Nothing strong to talk about. So the question is, what was it that attracted free agents then? It wasn't the winning. I think it was the fact that
it was the players
recognized. It was the players. And who is the Kevin Garnett on this team? Who is? Do the Celtics even have an attractive coach that would want to have players come play for them like a Doc Rivers did? I think a combination of guys that were hungry to win in 08 saw it as their last good opportunity before they slipped out of their prime, along with a coach that was able to attract free agents and also an alpha male leader like KG.
But we know that Brad Stevens.
Any of those three.
But we know that Brad Stevens wouldn't have the ability to attract free agents because he hasn't coached any other players.
Well, also Jason, just to clarify, when I was talking about the bench players from 2007, 2008, I more so meant when once they saw KG and Ray Allen on the roster, that's they right. took a gamble to win. As far as KG, that's a good point, but I believe he was traded for, so didn't really have much of a choice in the matter.
Yes. Ray Allen was the one that was like, get me out of
guys.
Yeah, and Ray Allen was kind of like in no man's land out in Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee, yeah, but they embraced the culture, guys. I mean, KG, all those guys embraced Boston. And again, the thing that is going to bother me as I get older here is I never wanted to see the day when the Lakers passed us for titles. For some reason, that bothers me, and it should bother Celtics fans. And the problem I have is, the winning tradition and the banners mean absolutely nothing to the modern day player.
The social media nothing. Celtics. That's why I call them the social media Celtics.
That's what they are. That's what they are. And also, guys, part of the problem is the fan base puts absolutely no pressure on the organization to win. Everything is unicorns and rainbows. Everything is a glasses half full. There isn't enough anger circa the Red Sox in the early to mid 2000s before they won the World Series. That type of anger is something that the Celtics fans don't have, and I think that's another part of it too, is everybody's too comfortable, guys.
But even though this team has gone to Eastern Conference Finals, Eastern Semis, there's been that consistency. I think the issue is, how are you not taking a very good team and trying to make it great? And it doesn't require a whole lot. It doesn't require consistently spending $40 million on the breakable porcelain dolls, right? It's about finding those leaders and saying, hey, look, I've got two superstars here, and they could really use your wisdom. We can use your rebounding. We can use your understanding. We can use these different things because that – and the caller's right. Jason's right. Players are not buying into the franchise. They're just seeing it as, I'm in the NBA, and I play for an NBA team.
So, to Jason's last point, and I'd be curious to see what the response would be, because I, too, look, I do feel that green teamers oftentimes, get a bad rap for being
too hopeful.
Yeah, or too optimistic and whatnot. But to be fair, I'm sure there are many of them that would call it the way that it is. So I'd be curious to see if there were a poll out there that said, should Danny Ainge be fired? And it was strictly Celtics fans, diehard Celtics fans voting on it. I wonder what the percentage would be.
Well,
because
the answer is going to be yes, and it's going to be in the 60s and 70s.
Well, you would hope so. I mean, because I think there's a lot of...
Because those are the ones that are going to be angry, and they're going to say, Danny, you're the ones that put these people on the team.
Right, but to Jason's point, how the fan base hasn't really put that much pressure on management. Like some of the other teams in town may have. I mean, Peter Chiarelli got fired after the Bruins missed one or two playoff series or playoff seasons. The Red Sox are always, under fire. The Patriots always, but Belichick's just not going to go anywhere. So I'd be curious.
But the other part with the Celtics is the NBA and the contract for the television series or for the games that are played throughout the season. They count on the Celtics to be there because selling Celtics versus Lakers is like, hey, we're going to get people with disposable income with these historical teams, and they're going to watch. And even though there's only a mediocre product going out from the causeway, people are still watching. But at the same time, the way the league is now, it's no longer about, I need to go to this big city to make a big impact. Kevin Durant was selling himself more on social media from Oklahoma City But again, you see, when he kind of gets to New Jersey, it's kind of like, I'll play this week, I'll play next week. It's kind of part of this social media culture that exists in the league. And I think the team that it's most damaging to is the Celtics. The Nets, they're fly by night. They're fly by night. I mean, that they're literally like, hey, we just need people to come in. The 76ers, guess what they did? They went and got Doc. They got Doc Rivers. Hey, we want some of that 2007-2008 feeling. Jesse in Rhode Island, you're on WEEI. Thanks for the call.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
You got it.
I was just thinking that Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens lost these guys when they sided with Kyrie Irving back in the day, and let Kyrie Irving sit out when he wanted to, and do whatever he wanted to, while Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, they were buying in.
Yeah.
But they let the star player run the show, which was Kyrie Irving.
And it seems like Terry Rozier was the one that was like, ooh, I have a story to tell, but I'm not going to tell it.
Yeah. And there's a lot of stuff going on underneath the cup here. And the other opinion I wanted to make, or point that I wanted to make to you guys, was that I think Tatum should be traded, not Brown, because Brown has the actual oomph, the gusto, the winning mentality. And I don't see that in Tatum yet.
I agree.
Even though he makes a ton of shots.
I agree. Because when you see Tatum go to, let that 7-8 game be against Charlotte. And see how many times Tatum goes to the hole and doesn't get the call because it's the playoffs. It's not going to be pretty. It hasn't been pretty. And it may get ugly soon. If somebody in these slices of pizza doesn't get put back in the oven. I had to figure out how to make that. You got just undercooked. Danny's overcooked. Time for trending.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Now back to EEI Late Night with KJ on EEI.
Yeah. Shelf. But let me tell you, I got some news for you. all by yourself. Late Night WEEI, part of the WEEI Sports Network. It's KJ. True story, Brian DeFelice, producer extraordinaire. I taught my 9-year-old when she was like 4 years old that song, that and James Dean. So now, with her memory recall, I'll play that Eagles album for her. James Dean. That's, you do it to him. It's called indoctrination. Why do you think Pat Robertson and Cops were on for like 40 years? Anything that's on for that long that hasn't been canceled owns your mind. 617-779-7937 or the text line 37937. Paul, what's going on? Talking about the C's and Westfield. Go ahead. You're on WEEI.
It's just time for Westfield. What the hell kind of team is this? Down the one. I can't see.
As I tell my own child, use your regular voice, Paul.
Right. KJ, I love your auntie, Pancha. That was a great day. Brian, I just picked his brain for hot topics in the booth, so I will get straight for one. Now that our other marquee player, the bad wrist, this chance for...
We got to let him go. It's choppy. It's nothing personal. It's just choppy. It's not broadcast quality, as they would say. But I understand. I guess you about to yell about the C's, it probably would break up your phone.
Yeah, I mean, Paul, if you could fix your phone, you can call back quickly. But
use a landline if you got one still. Who has a landline still to this day?
It's hard. I don't know. I'd like to meet them, though.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, really? They have a landline? Wow. Ryan DeFelice, you're working on a Bruins article, I'm sure, to discuss the playoff scenarios where the Bruins will be facing the Capitals in the first round. And I would venture to say that all the mess with Tom Wilson, the whole nine, the non-addressing of it, just kind of letting Tom Wilson run wild, was all about this moment. When the season started, remember I said, the Bruins have to carry the water for the NHL. They do. Even though the Rangers are the most valuable franchise, it still doesn't mean wins. It's about the Bruins. This is what Washington wanted. I used to live in D.C., and I can tell you there is a passion for their team. But let's just face it, they're not really one of the cleaner teams in the league. They're like the old Flyers. That's what they're trying to. They're trying to be tough like the old Flyers, with one legendary player, right? It's not a bunch of people like coming through there. Yeah, they won the cup a couple of years ago, but so did Nashville, I think.
No, they lost to Pittsburgh. Nashville lost to Pittsburgh.
Nashville, lost
but they get to the finals though.
Right. Tampa goes. That's my point. But Brian, I see some things that I'm like, oh boy. So let me deal with the Bruins first. When they're outscored first, they're 8-10-4. 5-7-1 at home, 3-3-3 away. So they get outscored on the road, they still have a chance. They get outscored or scored on first at home, they kind of fold. Advantage the Capitals.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, what are the
because then you get to fighting.
What are the Capitals' figures when they go down a goal? I would be willing to bet that the Bruins' winning percentage when giving up the first goal is probably better than most teams. But you're right, though.
The Capitals, 10-10-2.
10-10-2 when they give up the first goal?
Yep.
Okay, well, then fair enough. I mean, yeah. I mean,
that's
obviously
a push.
Yeah.
Right? So, in other words, hey, just because you score on them first doesn't mean they're going to lose. The probability is equal. How about this? In one goal games, the Bruins 4-7. The Capitals 11-1.
Where are you getting these numbers from? The Bruins are 4-7 in one goal games?
4-7 in one goal games.
Wow.
One goal Gary's, yep.
What I can tell you is that in the 8 games against the Capitals this year, the Bruins went 4-1-3 or something like that, or 4-2-2 or something like that. Whatever it was, the Bruins beat them in the season series. Not that that means anything.
That's where I was going.
It doesn't mean anything.
I think because what happened to Brandon Carlo was to send a message that had nothing to do with the regular season, but the postseason. Because now, if you know that the NHL is going to do more to someone who says, hey, the safety department, you guys suck, versus the person who does the killing floor stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
if they know this, you know they're coming with heat again.
Yeah, but you know what, though? It's the playoffs, and the Bruins have their fair share of big physical players, too. So I think it's going to be a great series. And whether it's Tom Wilson and the Capitals or, you know, somebody else in a later round.
I want the Bruins to win. I'm just trying to state numbers here that says, is it in their mind about what happened to Brandon Carlo going into a series?
I don't think so. I think you put that behind you. What good does it do with them now? You know, I mean, like, obviously they're aware that Washington is a physical team and it's going to be a hell of a series. And
are they more aware that the league is not going to do anything if Tom Wilson pulls another stunt?
Nah, you know what? If the Bruins go into the series worrying about Tom Wilson, then they've already lost the series. And I don't think, and that's why I think that the Bruins have too many guys that have been there and done that to, you know, focus on what's ahead of them. And I think that, you know, since the trade deadline, the addition of Hall, Lazar, Mike Riley on defense, the Bruins are, in hockey, all it takes sometimes is a couple of players to really solidify a team and put everybody in the right place. And their team speed is better. Their scoring depth is better. And I think that, you know, position by position, from goaltender on out, I think the Bruins have more depth than Washington. Now, Washington has some elite players up front, but so do the Bruins. So it'll be a great series.
Now, no one would accuse you of sniffing the bear spray, which would be the equivalent of green tea.
Oh, no, trust me. I call it the way that I see it. I never...
You've lost your marbles over a fourth line quite a bit this year.
Yeah, look, I'll be the first one to... If the Bruins win a game...
The fourth line.
If the Bruins win a game, but you know, don't play particularly well during that win, I'm not going to sit there and just say, oh, they won, it's okay. And if they lose a game, but they work their ass off, I'm not just going to crap on them. Like, I call it the way that I see it.
But doesn't the playoffs kind of change that? Because everything's at stake.
Well, look, if they go out and play the Capitals and lose in 7 games, but they work their ass off, then, you know, it'll be tough to criticize them. But with that said, see, that's why it's interesting, because the Bruins have the team that can go to the Cup Finals.
Oh, yeah.
But because of the division that they're in, they could also lose in the first round. Same with Washington, the Islanders, and the Penguins. So that's why it's, you know, a hell of a division.
Yeah. I think that's, if there's one thing the NHL did right, even though people disagreed with it, was, you know, the Canadian teams had to play the Canadian teams because of COVID. And so you didn't see the Torontos, you didn't see the Montreals, but you're really going to have to work to go see them.
Well, that's why I think if the Bruins can get out of their division, they have the rest of the league not being able to see the Bruins' top line this year or Krejci and Hall together. You know, that's going to benefit the Bruins. And,
absolutely.
You know, it goes both ways, right? The Bruins haven't seen other teams either. But, you know,
I would say if you're talking about our front line, our first line, I would bet the farm against anybody else in the league.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Bruins' top six is one of the best in the league now. And I could not have said that a month ago. So and because of that, you know, their bottom two lines, are really good as well. And they get Charlie Coyle back for the playoffs, and
right,
they're rocking and rolling. They got to stay healthy, especially on the back end.
And you got to be really loud at the games, because now we have people in the games, and that's really going to carry. Because I'm thinking of the different arenas around the country, and I would almost venture to say, outside of Texas, maybe you would probably be able to have more people in at the Garden.
Yeah, Florida would be pretty packed
but
as
I
well.
Don't,
I think.
I don't think they'll. Well, yeah, they'll show up in Tampa.
Yeah. Well, Tampa's playing Florida, so those two teams are playing each other for the first time in their histories in the playoffs. The Battle of Florida, the Battle of the Sunshine State.
I hope they both lose.
Real hockey state down there.
Yeah.
But they have the defending champions, and the Florida Panthers are great too. Which is why I want the Florida Panthers to be relocated to the to Quebec City and become the Nordiques again. But that's a story for another day.
Yeah, I don't know. I think once they shut down that big bowl up there, it's for the 76 Olympics, and everybody started going, it's just like bon voyage, as they would say in bon voyage le professionnels. It's the late show here on WEEI with KJ, 617-779-7 7937.
You got it.
Yeah, because I knew you were about to record that and get me with that, because that's happened before.
Well, if you keep doing it, then I'm going to have to keep recording it, though.
Yeah, that's very true, and I'm going to have to keep deleting it. Thanks for hanging out.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Now back to EEI Late Night with KJ on EEI.
Late Night, WEEI. It's KJ, part of the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Thank you so much for hanging out, winding things down. Brian DeFelice, sometimes people should not hit send. From the text line, hey KJ, Expo 76 was in Montreal, not Quebec. That's like saying, hey, it was in Boston and not in Massachusetts. Of course it wasn't in Quebec City. It was in the province du Quebec. How do you say don't send in français? Pas d'aller. Don't go. Don't touch. Don't.
Je parle un peu.
Je parle un peu. Poo-poo. That's what that is right there. This might be perfect for that person who just sent that text in. So kind of the world was going crazy to see what Elon Musk was going to do on Saturday Night Live because of his Dogecoin. What was it going to do? Well, meanwhile that was happening, scams went out using verified Twitter as a Twitter accounts, raked in $300,000 in Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Dogecoin. See, what the scammers did was they used his appearance on SNL to say, hey, you can win by clicking this link. Who still clicks a link you don't know? The cyber crook swindled nearly $300,000 in cryptocurrency by using the hype around Elon Musk's Saturday Night Live appearance. Absolutely crazy. Scammers set up at least 20 Saturday Night Live and Elon Musk fake Twitter accounts. Look, one was set up in Quebec and the other one was set up in Quebec City. Unbelievable. The criminals' addresses had received $191,293 in Bitcoin and Ethereum and nearly $90,000 in Dogecoin. Do not hit send. Red Sox, A's series starts tomorrow. Check it out here on WEEI. Plus the Odyssey app. If you're outside of the region, you can't pick us up immediately locally. You can hear it on the Odyssey app. Just type in WEEI. And you can check. Now, that's a real legit address. It's not going to take Bitcoin or Doge or Quebec City from you. Have a good one. I'll talk to you again tomorrow night here on Late Night WEEI.